Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Volt here, and welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. Today, I am interviewing Susie Harder, who's an experienced clinician, who's passionate about helping kids feel heard and seen. She's the founder and director of the Central Valley Stuttering Center, as well as an SPS student and the author of the book, Where's My House? Today, we're going to be talking about all things using a book launch to raise money for charity or for a cause. So if you've ever thought about writing a book, to raise money for a charity, if you're thinking about giving money from the proceeds of your launch or your book as a whole to charity or to a cause, you're in for a treat. Because that's exactly what we're talking about today. You may know I did this with my book, Breaking Out of a Broken System, way back in the day, launched with my brother, Seth Bold of Need to Breathe. And that the whole premise behind that was one book, one life. So buy one book, save one life. We donated all the proceeds from that book to charity and continue to this day. We've had examples of, I know Emma Sumner, who's been on the podcast, donated the proceeds for the first 3 months of her launch to Autism Speaks, an autism awareness charity. So many great examples of this kind of in the self-publishing school community. So I'm excited for this chat today. Susie, welcome.
Hi, I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so for starters, I know you've got a personal story, and this is kind of close to home, behind why you wrote the book, the purpose behind it, the cause that this is connected to, all those things. So can you speak to that, kind of why you wrote this book and what's the purpose behind it?
Absolutely. And I love that you start with that question because it intentionally highlights the purpose behind the project that you pour yourself into. And had someone asked me 9 months ago what things would look like, it would be so different because my life has changed so much in this project of diving in and helping kids. So I grew up in the kind of mountain forest area of Central California. And this fall, when we had one of the fires, you know, you kind of get desensitized when you're up in the mountains to evacuation. And it's kind of just, you know, that's part of when you live in the mountains. And so families evacuated, there's a whole thing of trying to get animals out. And so the community really came together. And then there was this day that everything changed. And I woke up at 4 a.m. and I trusted my gut, and then we're here right now. And so in that day, the posts that I was seeing changed from we're evacuated to we lost our house. It's confirmed, it's gone. And here I am, I have a 3 and a 6-year-old at home, processing that as, oh my gosh, these kids, they don't have their toys. They don't have their bedrooms. They don't have, you know, we're in the midst of COVID and distance learning and life's a mess already. And how can I reach out to these kids and really support them right now? And so as a clinical speech language pathologist, we end up doing so much through books. And it's been really interesting learning about books in a totally different way, and how we use them is to promote conversations. And so I was looking for what are some resources that we have available that would help us facilitate these conversations from kind of a social emotional support standpoint of let's show kids what this looks like, but then reframe it into a really positive way, because we can so easily tell kids it's okay. But we know that in those moments when things are not good, that's such empty advice. Yes, it will be okay, but what about right now? It's not okay right now. And so I wanted there to be something that we could use that really helped these kids feel seen and heard and acknowledged. And I was looking and didn't find it. And so then I was kind of like, okay, well, here we go. So that was at 4 a.m. And I woke up that morning and wrote the whole storyline, and then was kind of like, I don't know how to write a book. So this is a great idea. Also, I know none of this. And so then within that first week of SPS, I mean, it was just such a perfect match timing wise. I mean, I had, you know, like my full story done and had already gone through editing twice and had all you know, I went for it. I was like, I'm buying 100 ISBN numbers. This like unlocked everything. I have so much that I want to teach kids and help kids with. It kind of just went there. And so then it just started evolving and it really went from, okay, here's a story that can help kids to, let's develop out, you know, the SPS program talks so much about great lead magnets. And for me, as someone who works with children, it was so easy to provide, you know, and there is this rationale for why I would do it, but really those are the things I love to do anyhow. So I was kind of like, okay, let's develop out a grief journal for these kids. It'll be kind of a writing and drawing journal. I'll coordinate with psychologists and counselors to help make this really meaningful. Let's do this and this. And so it just kind of started evolving into more of a whole framework for how to support kids. And
that's amazing. And then,
there's a lot of pieces.
Snowball from there. Yeah. Hey, so why, I want to backtrack just a little bit. So obviously you wake up and kind of write the premise of the story, but why a book specifically and as an introduction to kind of solving this problem for kids? And then also, how did you end up finding SPS, and at what point did you join SPS kind of in your journey?
Yeah. So SPS, and when I say I trusted my gut, it's, I mean, it really is there. It was like a random moment. It was through a Hal Elrod email I was sitting in a parking lot, and I kind of joke that all of us moms during COVID, we had, you know, like I had my normal morning. I would wake up early, go work out, and then cry in the car for a little bit. And then I'd go home and start my day. And so my friends then knew, like, that's her routine. She'll probably be crying in her car between 6:45 and 7:15 a.m. And then she's going to go home and do, you know, distance learning at home and then go to work. And so someone had forwarded me, you know, something, and then they forwarded me a gift card to go get a coffee. So I'm sitting there in the parking lot because we're not yet allowed to go into coffee shops at that point. And I was like, I'm just going to book a call. And so I did. And it just, I mean, the timing of it could not have been more perfect, because that was on a Friday. And then the Creek Fire started that next day. And then the houses that were lost, the mass destruction part, happened kind of Monday evening into Tuesday morning. And then Wednesday morning was the, I'm going to write this book. And so it was kind of like I had done that initial launch into, I'm okay to explore this. I feel comfortable. I have, you know, any big thing, you need a good team of people. So I felt like I've got a good team of people. And as much as this is scary, there's also no better time to jump in when you're doing something that's truly good. And there was no procrastination, because it's like, this isn't about me. This is about these kids. There's no lag time. There's, exactly. And I think that for any of us that can kind of cultivate that, when you're looking at starting a project and doing it for a really pure, great reason, I mean, it's such a great launch point for everything that you're doing. And there's just such natural buy-in, because people want to help because you're helping. Yeah. And so when we get into kind of like all the PR stuff, you know, we can talk more about that. But it's just, it really just worked out. And I kept saying, like, this is crazy that all of this just happened. And then all of a sudden it was AAL. And I was listening to some of the stories and I was kind of checking out, and I was kind of like, yeah, but that's not going to work for me. And I'm just, and then that next day I woke up and we were planning my son's 6th birthday party. And I was kind of like, no, I need to do this. I really need to jump in and be a part of this kind of bigger picture. And I'm so, so glad I did. And now I have access to the team, and they've been nothing but supportive and helped grow all of those pieces.
That's awesome. And let's circle back on that a little bit later. I want to dive into a couple things. So follow-up question would be, you said there's a big difference between you're using books as a clinical psychologist or working with kids, you're using books to help teach them lessons. And then the difference between that and then creating a book that can then be used. What were the through points or things, you know, maybe for others? Because I feel like a lot of our children's book authors are teachers, are in roles like you have, like they're already working with kids. So what are the through lines that maybe could be helpful for them of things that were similar, and then the one or two things that were totally different mm-hmm. that was kind of a learning moment?
Yeah, great question. So I'd say that the advantage that someone has if they work with kids is you can learn how to write a book. And your team does such a great job of teaching that. If you have the experience of what is it that kids like, what do they think is fun, and what is really meaningful that they hear, and how can we really positively reinforce those things? You know, it doesn't come from a preaching standpoint. It comes from, I know how to engage kids. And so let's do it in a meaningful way. But, you know, kind of under the disguised learning model of, if you picture an iceberg and you think of, you know, the kids see the very top part that's fun and splashy and cool. And then behind the scenes, we as educators have the opportunity to build in whatever messages we want. And so we talked a lot about, we didn't call it young philanthropy, but we talked a lot about helping friends. And one of the themes within Where's My House is this constant struggle. She's ready to go play, but there's a note that says that there's a friend who needs help. And so we kind of talked to the kid, and it's very engaging. The story is written to be very much a conversation and to help guide kids through those. And so this morning I was doing a classroom visit with a kindergarten class, and we were saying, okay, well, she should just go play, right? Because, I mean, there's a friend in need, but really she wants to go do this dog pile with all the animals and this and that. No, she needs to help. Really? Yeah. Do you see that cat? Look, and his house has got, she needs to build. Okay, well, let's see what she did, you know? And so it just really naturally leads into not monologue based, but dialogue based. Mm. And so all of us that work with kids kind of know how to, in a sense, I reference the book as the zip drive. So it's kind of like, it's the thing, but really it's not about the book. It's about all the conversations and all of the concepts and all of the things that come with it. And so when it's designed that way, you just naturally have so much there. So for anyone that's out there as, you know, a teacher or someone who works with kids, I'd say that the access to learning how to make a book unlocks all those things that you know and love. And then it kind of just has this spiral effect of, oh my gosh, I could help impact kids in this way on a much different level. My practice, you know, it's successful. I love working with kids, and it's local. And so then when you think of, oh, well, this could help kids in this way and outside of my area, absolutely. And then the kind of trajectory of this is that, you know, we're helping kids kind of process loss of a home. And so that's not just this one time and this one situation. It's, you know, can we in the future help kids, and they might know me or not know me, and that doesn't matter because the resource is then out there.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. Leveraged impact. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. Doing work once, creating this book that then takes the local work national, but then on a totally different scale where you can impact hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, who knows, maybe even millions of kids over the course of the life of this book. That's amazing. So let's talk about specifically giving proceeds to charity or to a cause. Obviously, it's the chicken or the egg. I think some people, it might spur them to write the book. Obviously, that's your case where, you know, this thing happened and you're saying, all right, I'm going to write a book with this purpose. It gives meaning to the project. It gets you to create the project faster. There's more urgency. There's more focus and meaning and all those things. And then, so I'd say that might be 10 to 25% of people listening. And then there's probably this other portion, which would, I would assume, would be the larger group, which would be, all right, I've written this book. Now I'm thinking about incorporating some sort of kind of cause or charity component to the book. So how did you decide to do that? And then how did you decide between, you know, some people will do it, and I know we recommend this for a lot of people, is, okay, you can do the proceeds of the launch. You can do the proceeds for the lifetime of the book. Like, how did you look at that and kind of evaluate between the two options?
Yeah. And my husband thought I was nuts because he's like, but how is this going to work then? I don't get it. And I'm like, you know, I think there's that thing of, do you see the book or do you see the big picture? And if you're looking at the big picture and you have a really clear idea of what the big picture is, then that book helps you move into the big picture. And so, you know, trying to explain it to someone, you know, it really doesn't make sense at first when you're saying, okay, so you're putting all of your time, you're canceling clients, you're doing all of this, and then you're just going to give the money away. Why? And then you look at the trajectory of where that actually goes versus if it's very self-serving from the get-go and just the likelihood that it gets picked up. Like you had mentioned the book Contagious that I love and just kind of the concept of what is it that will be something that people care about. And yeah, I heard someone say, and I always laugh, like no one cares about your book launch unless you make them. And so if you're giving them a really good reason to care, then that immediately facilitates, you know, kind of all of those efforts. But then also when you look at the bigger picture of getting your name out there and building into something, and then, you know, are press releases more likely to get picked up? Are news interviews more likely to get picked up? Are, you know, people more likely to donate? What about the book launch and a local signing? And, you know, kind of what is the engagement level with that versus if you go in kind of this direction of, but that's going to give away all of the things. And really when you weigh it out and what you gain from that, I mean, it's infinite versus had it just been, you know, kind of like, okay, I made this, look everyone. And then it dies, you know?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great distinction. And I love the thinking big picture kind of component of that. So how did you decide, I mean, because I relate to what you're saying. It's people have said the same thing for me. I just dropped out of school and I was spending all of my time working on a project for charity. Yes. And people were like, huh, what are you doing? You got to pay rent. You've got 5 months worth of savings and that's a ticking time bomb. You know, and then you're going to run out of money.
I'm like, I'm the brokest I've ever been.
Like, what in the world are you doing? And so I think, and so I am still very glad that I did that. And to your point, it opened up so much more PR, press, opportunities, launch team. There was a mission behind it. And I think even still circling back now, what I recommend for a lot of people, and this is what Emma did and what others is like, if I were to go back and do it, I would probably do a 3 month or a window of time where it's okay from proceeds from the launch benefit this. And mostly just from accounting, like long-term, not having to deal with the accounting and all that, but then sure. Also just there's a both. So did you ever consider that? Was it forever from the get-go? Like how did you ultimately land on the decision with what you went with?
Yeah. Well, at first it really wasn't at all about money. It was just kind of like, okay, if I make enough to offset the costs of this book, that's a win because really this is the social emotional support for these kids. And then it turned into, well, but we do have the opportunity to raise money for these kids. And if we can, then let's do that. And kind of the process within that. Yeah. At the beginning, I was so nervous. I was kind of like, there's no way I can donate all of this. That doesn't make sense. And B, I just think financially, I can't swing that. And then my analogy, kind of hearing you talk through it right there, would be that is it worth if you get kind of like an unpaid internship, but it's like the role of a lifetime at the company of all time. Would you do 6 months of unpaid work knowing that you're establishing those relationships and all the things that come after that is worth it? And if we traveled the life of my book, so if Where's My House was published and I had nothing to do with earning money for anyone else. So it was just kind of like, okay, this is this one book for this one cause. And I'm just trying to pay myself back. It would have been well received. Also that first month or so, I thought this is so great. Everyone's going to love this. And nobody cared. And it's, you know, people care about different things. And so I knew the motive behind it, but that wasn't something that was quote unquote contagious. It wasn't the thing that helped kind of gain momentum. And so in that situation, you know, maybe I would have, you know, spent all this time, money, and I would have sold 200 copies and, you know, given myself a pat on the back and said, great job. And now here we are with kids, you know, from all across America and all over the world that learned about our Sierra National Forest and what happened with these kids. And we have this whole team of kids helping kids. And we have, you know, nationwide kind of just news coverage and media and all of these things. And it's kind of like, that looks so different. So now I had thought about doing the first 3 months and kind of breaking that out. And then the book itself developed into a nonprofit. And so that piece of it then captures kind of like, we're with these kids for the longevity, because a rebuild isn't a, you know, I kind of like the splash support of, you know, most agencies are in there for kind of that immediate emergency moment and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. And so this was really provided as, let's give some consistency. I mean, even just these last 8 months, there have been so many changes for these kids and families. And it's so neat that they get to log in and have this person that's there that knows that kind of I'm their champion. It also gave me an opportunity to, so I each week in the paper, I featured one of them. And I did it from, I call them my featured junior authors, because they're the ones that, you know, are benefiting from the book. But that's a much, it's a much better reframe than saying, oh, look at all these kids who lost homes. So there are featured junior authors. And so each week, you know, and the local newspaper editor was totally on board when I said, hey, here's an idea I have. And so then we were able to put, you know, everything for the community event, everything for, you know, it was just these sweet little Q&As with kids, and everyone cared, because it's these wonderful kids that nobody really knew how to have these conversations with. And so we would dive in, and some of it would be fun and some of it was real. And, you know, we'd talk about imaginative things for if your dream rebuild, you know, what would you have? And one of the third graders said, well, for sure, these underground kind of tunnels. I said, oh, what would you put down there? Well, I'd put puppies, Gatorade, and hummus. And I'm like, that's... fabulous. That's so good. So then the community each week when this community, you know, the local paper came out of, oh my gosh, who's highlighted? What did they say? I hear you have this coming up. And it was just this continued exposure 4 months prior to our actual launch. And it kind of took the me out of it. And that was intentional. It focused it on what it is that we have the opportunity to do.
That's awesome and smart. I love your heart for kids. It's so cool. Can you speak to this? Circle back to, you were talking about kind of all the things that wouldn't have happened if, you know, if it was just a normal book launch, and because there was a cause component to that. Can you speak to some kind of how has that helped marketing your books, selling more books, and what are kind of some of the opportunities that have opened because of that?
Yeah, I'd say everything that's happened is because I made that choice. Yeah. And, you know, even going back to kind of the really, really meat of how comfortable am I reaching out to people and asking for things? And if I'm asking on behalf of kids who need help, that's a totally different ask than I want to market my book because I want this. And so it just really facilitated, I mean, everything from, you know, newspaper articles to press release to, so this, it was maybe like 3 weeks after the concept of the book kind of came together, but I was, you know, I dove in, was learning everything through SPS. And I was like, this is fabulous. There's so much cool stuff for kids to know and learn about books. And here they are in distance learning, totally unengaged with everything. There's definitely something we need to do here. And so my idea of, you know, let's make a book and then give it to them. We know how kids are. Like, that's so different than saying, let's be involved in this, and then the appreciation of it. And so it was a Friday that I was kind of like, you know what we should do is figure out a way to involve all of these kids. And then Saturday I did a website and a Facebook page, and on Sunday I did a voting-based platform, and then called the news and got on the news that night, Sunday night, and then launched Monday. And then we had these votes that were going out to help choose all these things with the book. And it was just instantly, like, those first 3 weeks were so isolating. And then after that, it was just doors open, doors open, doors open. And, you know, from the nonprofit side, people were like, what do you need? How can I help? From the politician side, you know, they're like, let's support you in this way. Do you want to be on our Facebook Live or our this and talk about the book and the cause? Do you want me to speak at your community event? Do you know about these grants? Let's have you apply for these grants. It really just kind of instantly built this team of people. And then instead of me as a solo person working on a project to put out there at some time, it was kind of like, I took the guard down and it was just, we are working on this and there's a lot to learn. And the goal isn't to be perfect. It's for this to be really engaging and useful and helpful and to grow our team of people that are all involved. And so by the time we did our community launch, I mean, there'd already been so much coverage. I don't even know if I had reached out to someone that didn't cover it. I mean, it was just so crazy. Like, wow. It all worked out. And, I'd say that night and day, from had it gone one way versus I'm going to take this route of, you know, donating all these funds.
That's awesome. And it sounds like the PR wins have kind of snowballed. And I'm sure some of this was stuff you learned at Author Advantage Live and the PR outreach stuff, and then the rungs of the ladder, and then taking the local and going to regional and taking the regional and going national. And so, two-part question, biggest win on that front or biggest kind of unexpected door opened as a result of this? And then second part question, most rewarding part of this experience for you?
Yeah, I'd say that early on, the biggest thing was that because I became involved with this whole collaborative of all of these nonprofits that were related to Creek Fire Recovery, and United Way kind of pulled me aside and said, we want to make a documentary about this. This is really good. I'm like, oh, okay. And they said, okay, we're going to come tomorrow. So we did a 6-hour shoot at my office with their whole team. And then they put this amazing piece together. And then they were kind of on my side for pushing it out to PBS and really, you know, kind of just advocating for me. And so at that point, I think that was maybe 45, 50 days into the whole process, there was already all of this that was happening. It was kind of like, okay, not only is this encouraging, but now I actually have something that kind of validates what it is we're doing. And when I post that, it looks like I'm legit versus I have an idea that I'm trying to make come together. So that was really, really helpful.
Social proof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you used that to snowball into mm-hmm. other, like you started using that to just go up the rungs of the ladder and get bigger and bigger press and publicity?
Yeah. And even just with schools, you know, when I'm reaching out and I'm kind of like, here's, you know, a quick summary. And then, you know, we can dive into here are some of the other parts. So that's been just very useful from the get-go. And then I'd say that most rewarding for sure is, gosh, there's so many parts, but for sure, my vision from the get-go, that very first week, was I want to have a book signing where it features kids. And I get to kind of play a backseat. And I, you know, as parents and as educators, that's kind of the glorious role, is you create an opportunity for success and then you celebrate the success and you step back and just enjoy and watch, and it's not about you. And you know that you did 99% of the work to help that happen. But that's not the point. The point is that these kids in this moment feel proud. They feel empowered. They feel like I did this and I can do a lot of stuff. And so I wrote the book concept Wednesday morning. So I think it's Thursday or Friday. I was like, okay, we're going to do a community book launch. I have never planned a community event, but let's go for it. And let's have the kids each set up their own author station. So they each had, kind of picture the old school science fair boards. Yeah, so we had professional headshots of them done as their author, you know, kind of headshot. And they each wrote their about the author bios. And we had it start with a prompt of, I lost my house, but that's not my story. Here's my story. And then they featured their artwork and their newspaper articles and, you know, kind of all of the pieces. And so when people from the community came to buy the book, they visited each station and got it signed. And each child had special things embedded in the story. So whether that was a favorite stuffed animal that was lost in the fire, or one of the girls, her dog was saved, but then in the house that they lived in after, they couldn't have dogs. And so she had to give her dog away. And so we put her dog's favorite blanket in the book. You know, there's just these Easter eggs all the way through. So then when they signed, they would sign on that part. You know, and then at the event, it ended up that, you know, we had so many people willing to contribute to hold an event that, you know, was a giant community event, and it was all around the book. But we made it about the kids. And so it just, you know, it felt good.
That's awesome. That's so cool. What have you seen ripple effects of this into your business and into your practice and like all that? And if so, what has that looked like?
Yeah. So what's coming up is we're taking kind of the framework of what we did and turning it into how can we do this in an ongoing way in different situations. And so here in a few months, we're launching a student book publishing program for schools. But really what it is, so that's the thing that gets, you know, kind of admin involved, right? Like, oh, cool. But then really what we're doing is collaboratively, we're all building a book. So we're all building the same thing. It will be themed around something that's really relevant and needed. Kids' classrooms will jump on and vote and help decide all of these things. And then when it's published, schools will do their book signing as an event there at the school, highlighting the kids. And then the money that they raise will do something meaningful in the community. And so that's called Authorable. And there's so many neat pieces coming together for that. And again, it was all founded on the outreach and the support that happened here to then get me in a place where, you know, like last week I was emailing 7,000 principals in California about, you know, it's kind of like, they would not have cared anything about what I had to say had it not been for this. So
that's cool. And then, and help me understand, you've got kind of a normal practice as well, where you work with kids. Like, has this flowed into that at all? Or has that been totally separate, or kind of how's that coexisting?
Yeah, it will. Once I kind of allow that to happen, because I've spent so much time, I kind of joke that this is how I coped with COVID, was we were doing everything via computer and it's just not as rewarding. And so I was kind of like, okay, well, I thrive on this ability to help kids. So let's help kids in a real valuable way right now. And then I can cycle back around, and when we're in person, then I can kind of get the, you know, hit the ground running on my caseload. But I've involved my caseload in everything. So even like all my past clients, we have, you know, just kind of this giant team of people that they're so excited because they're a part of it and kind of get to see behind the scenes on everything I'm doing. And then from my practice standpoint, all the things that I'm learning through SPS, it's like, it's just a natural pass through of, oh yeah, I should do, you know, some video courses for this, and I should offer this, and just how to write emails and to not be so wordy and to ask things and how to, you know, just looking at it from a different lens. I mean, it's revolutionized kind of how I approach those decisions.
That's awesome. Speaking of that, what's kind of been the most helpful part of going through SPS? And I want to kind of speak SPS specifically, because you were in the children's book program. Is that right? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. So maybe let's speak to that, and then we can circle back and I'll ask a follow-up question on the Author Advantage Accelerator. But so what was kind of the most helpful part of going through SPS and the children's book school as part of this book project?
Yeah, I think the step-by-step part, you know, kind of just the, you know, you see the staircase or, you know, it, whatever that, I'm forgetting it now, but kind of like you see the next step instead of the whole thing. And with the videos and the course itself, it allows you to just kind of bite off a little bit at a time and then move to the next thing. And it feels so manageable when you're doing that versus I'm researching all this stuff. I'm looking at how I would do this and now I'm stuck. And now I'm not motivated. And now I'm kind of out of it. I'll come back around to it. And it really just had that that drive of, okay, let's get this going. Let's do it. Here's all the information. I'm not waiting on anyone. It's here and I get to do it at my pace. And if I want to do a whole course in 2 weeks, then that's what I'm doing. And so I'd say that piece, and then even just some of the conversations, I mean, so many of the conversations, but like lead magnets, those huge, because again, I love providing things, but I never would have thought about it. So just having the trade-off of, okay, I am trying to build an email list so that I can reach out to these people. And if I'm giving these things away, let's just have them add their email address. And things that were so simple to include, but someone without a business background wouldn't necessarily just create that. And so it really was kind of like my like degree in marketing condensed into this 3 week period that then changed my whole outlook on it. And kind of like, gosh, yeah, if we have this, and you know, so then it was like, this whole book is the most giant lead magnet ever. Like, this is my foundation of what I'm giving. And then all these other things get to happen after that.
That's so cool. I love that. That three degree in marketing condensed into 3 months. I was just writing that down. That's really cool. So real quick, and we're kind of in the home stretch here, a couple final questions. You show up to Author Advantage Live and join the Author Advantage Accelerator. And I know learned a lot at Author Advantage Live, and then have been kind of working with this small group over the last year as part of the Author Advantage Accelerator. What's been the most helpful part of that and being part of that group?
I feel like I have a whole team of people that I'm working with. And so, you know, if I'm kind of contrasting two different things, one would be, you know, I'm reaching out to freelance and get support and get ideas that I know I have a good idea, but how do I actually go somewhere with that? And with the people that I had reached out to, you know, it didn't feel like there was this kind of ongoing momentum. And then comparing that against SPS, it's kind of like, we have a team of people that knows how to get you from A to B. So if you come in with an idea, even if you don't come in with an idea, you might develop an idea. and then let's get you from A to B. And so having that group of people that is really, you know, like for my practice, I have a private practice coach. And this was kind of like the whole coaching system of, okay, yes, it's a book, but it's bigger than that. So let's get you bigger than that. Let's do it. And that none of that would have happened without the support of all of the team members and those, the calls. And I mean, there's so much that was kind of like, oh, this is my saving grace of like not stopping and keeping going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Susie, this has been amazing. And I'm sure such a helpful resource for children's book authors, for people who work with kids thinking about writing a children's book, for people who are donating proceeds from their book to a cause or to a charity. Final question for you, where can people go to find out more about you, to buy the book, and to support the nonprofit?
Thank you. So juniorauthorsprogram.com has all the information. And what I'll do is set up a landing page for the listeners here. So juniorauthorsprogram.com/SPS. And there's a couple of things that I'll make sure to put on there. But one is there are all these children's pictures that they submitted of the houses that they lost. And so we have this special dedication page. So I'll put a picture of that on there because it's just sweet and wonderful and really kind of shows what is it that we're doing. And then I'll also put some links to, I have some read alouds that are available on YouTube, and they're geared from an educational standpoint to be super engaging. So I have one for preschoolers, one for kinder to second, and one for third to sixth. So I'll put the links for that. And then I'll also put a link for nominating your school to be involved next year. So for those listeners that are wanting their kids in their classrooms to be involved in making something, to do something good for their community, then they can be involved.
That's awesome. Let's say that link one more time.
Yep. So juniorauthorsprogram.com/SPS.
Perfect. Awesome. Check it out. And I'm pretty sure, Susie, you were a part of, because you were, I think, one of the first 100 founding members of the Children's Book School, a part of, and We're rolling this out soon, funding a library in Africa through Fund a Library. And so that's been really cool. And I'm excited to finally hit that milestone and get that library funded. And a couple final things as we wrap up here. So guys, if you're interested in two things, number one, attending Author Advantage Live, grab a ticket at authoradvantagelive.com. We just wrapped up the pre-sale as of the recording of this. So tickets may or may not be publicly available by the time that you go to that link, but check out authoradvantagelive.com. Secondly, if you're interested in getting our help to write and publish your book, kind of like Susie did, whether it's a children's book, whether it's a nonfiction book, fiction book, we've got all sorts of specific programs to help you through the process. Go to self-publishingschool.com/apply and book a call with the team there. So that's self-publishingschool.com/apply, book a call with the team and let's get rolling on your book. We'd love to help. We'd love to hold you accountable and just unlock a lot of resources to keep you moving on your book. Okay. So Susie, thanks so much. This is amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chandler.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.